Good afternoon. Welcome to Archant Towers. We have got plenty of stuff to get our teeth into after a busy week of Norwich City coming and goings. David Freezer here alongside our chief Norwich City correspondent, Paddy Davitt, and Peter Raven, who we're not quite sure what title we're going to use, so we're going to call him the father of all things Pinken, Pinken Podcast, Pinken.com, Message Board, Sports Desk Pete, you know the man.
Quite a CV there.
Quite a CV. And I'll come to you as well. Come to you first as well, Pete. As a fan, obviously, in a quite exciting day, I would imagine. Daniel Farke appointed as new head coach, as we'd been expecting most of the week. What did you make of the overall vibe coming out of the press conference and what he had to say?
Well, this is always the case with me. Whenever I'm off, Norwich either sign a player or a new manager. And I was in Stevenage yesterday, so something big was going to happen. And thanks to you boys, I was kept in the loop. I think there's been 17 stories on our sites since he signed. But yes, I guess you could say the end of last season, everyone was fairly flat. Stuart Webber came in, picked up a bit, and then I noticed after yesterday, saw on Twitter a lot of my friends and fellow fans are now actually excited for next season. I know he's an unknown quantity, but came across really well in the press conference, like the style of play he wants. I'm not sure you're going to get 70% possession out of a Norwich City side, but things are looking up. I know a ball hasn't been kicked yet, but he certainly talks the talk. I don't know what you boys made of him, but looking forward to it now.
Yeah, that's the thing at this point, isn't it? Managerial appointments can always, or head coach appointments as it is in this case, can always be a place for optimism because you can't really judge it by the real yardstick. Daniel Farke, he came across pretty well, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Pete's spot on. I mean, that's interesting because I get that sense as well, but not being a fan, as everybody knows, that you're never quite sure if that's translating to the people who he needs to impress ultimately. But, you know, and obviously, as you rightly say, Dave, it is a honeymoon period now, and this is going to be the height of probably his popularity, unless he obviously starts to do it on the pitch, which we all hope is the case. But, it's interesting because, you know, there's this debate about the British versus foreign that seems to have been reared again Friday morning with Ray Wilkins going on TalkSport, calling it a sad appointment, preventing the rise of young British coaches. But I've got to be honest, I don't get the sense that is even entered into Stuart Webber's head. He has conducted an exhaustive search home and abroad. Not about the passport, it's about the best man for the job. And it would appear, having gone down there as we did yesterday, that this was the guy they wanted from very early on. You know, there was a list of names put to the board, as Stuart Webber told it to me. But then he made his recommendations. The board bought into that, as Stuart said, to go more of a Daniel type than a Roy Hodgson. Once the board were happy with that, then the list rapidly reduced to only one or two names, I think. And Farke was always the man. And it is a coup. I don't quite accept what Ray Wilkins is trying to peddle, because he's the reserve manager at Dortmund, because he might have been the number Borussia Dortmund 2 manager, but we're talking there, one of the biggest clubs in Europe at the minute, working with excellent young players, and he's proved himself. And wasn't the worst grounding for David Wagner, was it? So, you know, I think this guy clearly has credentials, and there was interest, apparently turned down a Bundesliga job in January. You know, they haven't plucked somebody from total obscurity. This guy is a coach on the rise, and I think Norwich might have got me at just the right time, yeah.
Seems to be quite insular thinking from Ray Wilkins, and then he followed up by suggesting Ryan Giggs, who's untested, and Tim Sherwood. I mean, Tim Sherwood, if you appointed Tim Sherwood at Norwich this summer, there would have been uproar, wouldn't you? Because he's just embarrassed himself at Swindon, isn't he?
There wouldn't be a waiting list on the season tickets if Tim Sherwood came along with his gilet. It'd be embarrassing. I think even I'd give up my seat for that one. Nationality, I don't even know why it's coming into it. It seems to be that Norwich's first overseas appointment. I know it's very much a Stuart Webber appointment. You wouldn't expect the Norwich board to go that route, but I know there were some stats about how foreign managers have done better than English managers, and you've always had this argument that the England squad is suffering because English players are getting the foreign players bought in and they're just not getting the chance. It's, I don't really care where he comes from.
Yeah, that's a slightly different argument then, isn't it? When you've got when you're talking about your national coach, your Capello or Sven-Göran Eriksson, I suppose. But, you know, as Stuart Webber pointed out, five of the top six coaches in the Championship this season are from overseas. And, yeah, first overseas manager for Norwich as well. So that's a step in the right direction. I definitely don't think you can count Chris Hughton just because he played for Ireland, because he's as Irish as I am. But, yeah, we got to see Daniel Farker as well. And alongside him was Stuart Webber, who was slightly like the cat who's got the cream, because he said it would be within 2 or 3 weeks of the end of the season, and once again he's lived up to his word. His honeymoon period is extending nicely at the moment, and I suppose until the transfer dealings start wearing into action, he's the big man, isn't he?
Yeah, and Pete, we'll get Pete's take on it from a fan perspective, but I look at it and decisive, you know, on the front foot in many areas. Recruitment, could see that wasn't working. Goodbye to Ricky and a couple of other lads. Shook that up straight away. Then it was 7 players, no sentiment involved, aside from, you know, John there, Ruddy, farewell against QPR, which he deserved. But in terms of, you know, that sends a signal clearly to that squad of players and the supporters on a wider level that, you know, it's going to be basically trimming the fat, cutting out the deadwood and moving on. And now we've seen it again with this guy, as you said, Dave, quite public with his timeline. A lot of people wouldn't have committed themselves to that, because then you're immediately under pressure to deliver. He backed his ability, to reiterate what I said earlier, they've obviously had to fight off some interest in, I'd imagine, in Germany, maybe even further afield. Dortmund still wanted him to continue there doing what he was doing. That tells you a story in its own right. And yet Norwich have gone out, convinced the guy to come here, and that's all down to Stuart Webber. So far, if you were rating him out of 10, I think it'd be a very high score. But yeah, now we will see what he came in on from Huddersfield was a ticket that he was good in the recruitment side of it in terms of players, and we're about to see that phase of what he's all about now over the summer. And from what I've seen so far, I don't think Norwich fans should be too worried. I think that he will get the players they need.
Amongst the fans, I think Webber's popularity is probably as high as it's ever going to be at the moment, isn't it, Pete? I mean, he's just living up to everything he's promised so far. And probably the other side is that the defensive side of things, these guys had the best defence in in the West Region League, whatever it is, in the fourth tier of Germany. So he's identifying the right things, like Pad says, isn't
he? Yeah, it wasn't really hard to identify the problems in our team last season, was it? I do like the pictures on our site of those two at the conference. It looks like the bride and the groom on the wedding table. So there's clearly a decent relationship there already. But yeah, like Paddy said, with what Stuart Webber's done so far, he shows he means business, and he's done it quickly. And the John Rennie one was a bit of a surprise to me, but he shows there's no sentiment there. He wants to get things done. I guess in the past we've always been known for dragging our heels, like transfers that we could have got in the summer. We've waited till January and then even waited till the end of the window. But no, if he can get, I know they're all on holiday now, but you want that squad to be formed fairly quickly, and I think it will be.
Yeah. And that holidays was an interesting point that came up in the press conference when I think Michael, our very own Michael Bailey, who can't be with us today, he's got a bit of time off now, he's got a week off, so he timed it perfectly, but he asked whether Daniel Farker had any holiday booked, and he said, well, it was supposed to start on Monday. He hoped to get a few days early June, and Stuart Webber said, well, that's what he thought. So there was quite a few nice laughs between the two. They seemed to have a bit of an ease between them. 2-year deals for Farker and his assistant Edmund Reamer. I got to have a bit of a chat with him. He was a nice guy. He's only 32, so he's younger than Wes Houlihan by, 3 years almost? Originally from Kazakhstan, his English was a little bit more broken than David Wagner's, but I'm sure he'll pick that up. I don't think the language barrier is going to be a problem at all, is it, Pad? But the word which was probably used most was possession when it came to talking about things on the pitch. So I guess there may be a little bit of a culture shock for some people at Carrow Road at the start of next season as to what they see on the pitch. And as Stuart Webber's already said, that bit of patience is probably going to be needed while this adjustment takes place, isn't it?
That's an interesting point, yeah, because ultimately when he's talking about that, then that's basically what Alex Neil's mantra was as well. But the problem was, as Pete quite graphically illustrated, that only one part of the equation they seem to focus on. You know, Alan Irving, the classic quote, I've done more coaching defensively in the last 10 games of my interim period than they've done in the entire rest of the season combined. And that sadly came through on the pitch. You know, catalogues of individual errors, a lack of organisation, you know, not collectively defending as a team. Shocking amount of goals conceded. So, okay, that's fine. Yeah, but to be fair, he was accepting all that as much as it's about possession based. Through that, through good possession, through players who can retain the ball, then clearly you are keeping the opposition away from your goal. You would imagine that's the logical conclusion to this. That if Norwich have the ball, then the opposition haven't the ball, so they can't hurt Norwich. But that's going to definitely take a cultural shift, because if it's playing out from the back and patient football and waiting for their openings, that isn't your standardised English sort of mindset, is it? Particularly amongst supporters who want a bit more direct, a bit more thrust. But I think he seems to me quite astute, and he's sharp enough to know that that isn't going to be probably something he can sell, that it's going to take 60 passes to get to the edge of the other opposition box. I think it's just really through possession they will be quite potent offensively, and ultimately, as we've seen, they have plenty of players who can score goals. So I don't think it's going to be a massive kind of culture shock for Norwich supporters to get used to. I think it's just really just you look at it and now it's just almost applying the defensive elements in terms of the personnel to a squad that already have the attacking elements. So I'm not sure it's quite going to be a massive revolution almost in terms of how they go about things, because to reiterate what I've just said there, Alex Neil was all about possession. Alex Neil was all about denying the opposition the ball and through weight of possession dominating territory. So in that sense, there's fairly clear parallels between the two.
Yeah, I mean, possession can be a dirty word at times, can't it? You see some teams, Arsenal at their worst, can just tippy-tap around the ball, can't they, and not go anywhere with it. We saw Reading at Carrow Road, they just had an absolute defensive nightmare, but they were built on possession this season. And at the Medeski, we saw the good side of it. Fulham, when they won here, they were good with possession. Huddersfield as well. So does that worry you at all, Pete, that it's going to be very much focused on a possession style next year in the Championship? You're still going to get sort of big lumps like Chris Wood targeting your defenders. You're still going to get people who are going to be blood and thunder who've come up from League One.
Yeah, well, like Paddy said, it'll be a culture shock to the fans, but the Championship will be a culture shock to Farker and his team in that sense, if he thinks he's going to keep the ball for 70% of the game. It's you just don't want it to be, fans have been, especially at home, used to seeing the goals fly, and if that suddenly then drops a lot because of it's more about retaining the ball than actually putting it in the net, there could be a worry there. But it's, if it is uncharted territory for the Championship, then it might just work.
Yeah, and as long as you're winning games and scoring goals, you don't mind, do you? So, the way I see it is, with it being a bit more of a long-term strategy in place, I mean, as I think I said on the Facebook video we did yesterday, if Norwich had managed to get in the playoffs at the end of this season and managed to stumble their way to promotion, there was no way they were ready for the Premier League. Whereas if you can go up with this definite structure in place, the squad knows how you're doing, everyone knows how Norwich are going to play, then perhaps you're in a better place to move forward if you get promotion. You mentioned a minute ago, Pad, Alan Irvin. Stuart Webb put a bit of meat to the bones on that. We're going to have to wait a little bit to see what's going on with the rest of the coaches, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, they reiterated, they've discussed that they want a British element to Farker's coaching team, and I think ideally, certainly from the board's perspective, they would like that man to be Alan Irvin. But while Stuart Webber's had a conversation with him this week prior to Alan going off on holiday, you didn't get the sense that Alan was willing to cancel the holiday and come down to Norwich and nail his colours to the Farker mast. So I still think that probably won't happen, but if it's not Alan, then it sounds like they do want a British element to Farker's team, to take Pete's point, because as much as they'll have to learn on the job now to have that British insight to, and Stuart Webber used an example, you go to Burton to know that's a tight pitch, to know Leeds' dressing room, the away dressing room there's a very, very small all account, so you can't do your normal prep. Just little things that on their own you would think they're fairly incidental, but they can make, it's all about marginal gains and making the difference in any given weekend. So they clearly are keen on a British influence, and maybe it'll be Alan Irvin, Frankie McAvoy, and I'm not sure we'll see Frankie again, and I think Dean Carley's in a slightly different scenario, because I think he's just on a rolling type of situation there. He is Norwich's goalkeeper coach irrespective of who the head coach is slash manager, so I think you might see Dean still stay on, but ultimately the final calls will be made by Daniel Farker, and I don't think he's quite at that stage yet. I mean, it was all a bit of a whirlwind, I think, the last few days, so he'll need to get in. I don't think he officially starts until June the 1st, so that's next week, isn't it? So I think it's going to be probably a few weeks yet before his backroom team takes proper shape.
Okay, and in terms of that first signing of the summer, I mean, you've already reported about Marley Watkins from Barnsley hopefully being close. Do you think we're close to seeing anything unveiled?
Yeah, well, I think Watkins, I think they're just maybe just waiting until after the internationals. Maybe they're just waiting until Farker's officially in the building and working as Norwich's head coach, but that is done. So I did speak to Stuart Webber on a broader point about business, and he was quite bullish that they would be doing two or three things quite early in the summer. You know, he doesn't think it's going to be the, as we've seen most summers, the June is just a desert. There's a lot of speculation, but nothing tangible happening. I think they will try and pull one or two through early, and then it'll be, to reiterate what I just said there, sitting down with Farker, actually going through what squad they've got at the minute, what they feel they can do without, because they're going to need to sell to buy, and then what they need to bring in. But I didn't get the sense that they've really had those in-depth conversations in terms of the squad makeup yet. But having said that, knowing as we seem to have got a clear sense with Stuart Webber, he's a man of action, so I would think you'd see two or three little bits of business fairly soon.
And Watkins, just remind me a bit about him. He's a wide player, isn't he? He's a wide forward, is that a fair description?
Yeah, he's an attacker, I think, so he can play either flank, but you watch his show reels on YouTube, he can play down the centre as well. He's got pace, so much pace, you know, any balls over the top. So if Norwich are under the cosh, for example, you know, that they've got that out ball with him. And he's very much, I tie it back to what Stuart Webber said to us just after the end of the season, that looking through the squad, he felt at the top end of the pitch they maybe needed something slightly different to what they've already got, and he probably would fall into that category, an out-and-out pace merchant who's got an eye for goal and can finish as well. So, yeah, I don't think it's good news for the Yannick Wiltshire of this world, but certainly looking at his career path, he basically fell out of the professional game, had to come back through non-league. And he's basically a guy you can see he's hungry. You know, the way he plays the game, he's hungry. And I think he fits the prototype of what they're going to try and do this summer.
Welsh as well. And it's probably slipped by most people, but Stuart Webber is Welsh. So potentially his first signing, a Welsh lad. I guess we're going to see a big increase in gossip and transfer rumour mills. We put one up this morning. Christian Bielek, who is Poland under 21 centre-back at Arsenal, spent back end of last season on loan at Birmingham. He's been linked as a potential loan option. Just those two to kick us off. Pete, Watkins, do you think that sounds like a good signing on a free, and a young Premier League loanee? Is that the sort of thing you're probably expecting at some point in as well?
Yeah, I mean, like Paddy says, we've got a sell to buy, so you won't expect any big bucks coming in yet. I think you're right about Wiltshire. If this Watkins comes in, then it's the exit door for him. It's a winger, your main attribute has to be pace, and from the limited opportunities that Yannick was given, he didn't display a great deal of that. You do think, what does that mean for the Murphys and Naismith? But who knows, that's a decent signing, and like you say, the guy at centre back, that's got to be priority number one. You've got to get at least two in there, haven't you? Maybe more. You don't know what's going to happen to Closer over the summer. You can just be left quite short at the back, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to see plenty of names offered, and Watkins has just had his first Wales full call-up as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, he looks like he's got a bright future. A couple more similar on those lines. Jacob Murphy was called up to the England under-21 squad again yesterday. He retained his place, got his first couple of caps in March. So that's a training squad next week at St George's Park. They've got to trim that 28-man squad down to 23 ahead of the European Championship in Poland, I think it is. So we'll have to see whether Jacob makes that. I hope he's got his holiday in, but I suppose that's good for his reputation. Keeps him on the up, doesn't it?
Well, it's a little bit like Wes. Wes and the international boys, because I think, by all accounts, Wes and the family went off to Dubai for 10 days, but I don't think he could have been on the pina coladas too much, because he's now back in, as we speak, he's back in with the Irish. They're off to New Jersey now. They've got a friendly against Mexico. Then they come back to Dublin. They play Uruguay in another friendly start of June. And then June the 11th, World Cup qualifier. So I suppose if you look at it, I think Norwich are scheduled to get back in training back end of June. So he can probably fit in maybe a week, 10 days away somewhere. But again, you know, he's not going to be able to let himself go too much because I'm sure those Norwich lads will be very keen to impress Mr. Farker.
Mm. One man who's not getting an interesting or slightly unusual summer story, who's not getting a rest at the moment, Michy Afeti, who plays for the under-23s, out on loan in Iceland, a place you've visited, couple of times in the last
year? No, everyone says I went to Norway in December Iceland in Easter. It's an unusual move, isn't it? Do we know how he's doing?
Breidablik. He scored a goal, hasn't he? I think he's made a couple of appearances, but I think that shows a good attitude, really, doesn't it? Yeah. I guess it probably comes back to the player Norwich signed in January, August Helliansen, because it's the same club, which is the club where Gylfi Sigurdsson came from as well. So it seems a good club to align yourself with. But yeah, that's good attitude shown by young players and being willing to continue playing for, because he played every game for the under-23s this season.
But also, as a young lad, if you're the option of going on loan to someone like Burnley or Iceland, you know where you're going to go, don't you?
Yeah. Well, what was Iceland like, Pete? Nice place?
Beautiful. Recommend it.
Did you go to one of those hot springs?
They're everywhere. I went in several.
Yeah. You don't get a choice. And another little bit of news this morning with a couple of the young lads, Jamal Lewis and Joe Crow. They have both played for the Northern Ireland under-19s already. They've got their first call-ups to the under-21s. They've just got a new manager, which is Ian Barraclough, who used to be Scunthorpe United manager for about a year when I used to cover Scunny. So a good bloke, but hasn't been particularly successful in club football, but now has got the gig as the under-21s, and they've both got a call up there. That's for a training squad ahead of a Euro 2019 qualifier, which is a bit odd as Euro 2017 is also happening this summer. So they will be hoping to make the final cut to feature for that. And he's said that Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland first team manager, is keeping a close eye on that group, so that should be good for both of them as well. I think that just about wraps us up. Well, I'm sure we'll be back with you at some point over the summer, and we'll keep you in the loop. We've got the next edition of the Pinker magazine that's coming out, I believe it's mid-June, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And also we've been rattling through our special series looking at the top 100 Norwich City appearances. Darren Huckabee, I think, is where we're at, is in tomorrow's paper, which is 65th, tied 65th, I think. We've been rattling through them every day, which is a nice bit of nostalgia to keep you going through the summer. Right, chaps, thanks for today, and we will catch up with you guys soon. We'll have Facebook videos and more podcasts to keep you going throughout the summer. Cheers.